This is New York's talk leader, the crown jewel of talk radio, WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays. News first at 59 past the hour.
77 WABC News starts now.
Welcome on in to the news hour, 5 o'clock. Good morning. It is Tuesday, January 23rd. I'm Noam Layden. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. A cloudy day on the way. The high going to be 40. Tonight and overnight could see some showers after midnight, low 36. And then Wednesday, those clouds hang around. Could see some rain in the afternoon, high 43. If you're walking out the door with us right now, 32 and partly cloudy in Valley Cottage up in Rockland County. It is 27 and partly cloudy in Mullica Hill down in New Jersey. And it is 34 and cloudy outside our Midtown studios right now. A whole lot to get to as we work our way up to the 6 o'clock hour. Sid and friends in the morning, some members of the Immaculate Conception Church, which is on East 14th Street, reaching out to us to tell us this really creepy, awful story that a man was found taking a leak, peeing on the side of the church building on Sunday. And so a worker goes out. This is, by the way, middle of the day. This is not middle of the night. Not that that would be okay in the middle of the night, but this is the middle of the day. There's a guy taking a leak on the side of a building, but it's a church, okay? So one of the workers comes out and says to him, "What the hell are you doing?" His name's John Mock. He confronts this guy, and he says, "Stop peeing on the side of the building." He was telling his story to Eyewitness News yesterday.
I told him face to face, "We're going to do this. You're not supposed to urinate there. You're wrong. That's against the law."
So he chases this creep away and does his best to tell him not to come back.
"If you would have asked me, I got the keys of the bathroom, I'll let you go. Then why do something like that?"
Yeah, so this is a known character in the East Village community. His face is familiar to people. And as you heard from John there, he says, "I would have let him come in and use the church bathroom if he had just asked instead of peeing on the side of the wall." I mean, it's disgusting. And it's a church. I mean, it makes it doubly disgusting. So then it doesn't end there. This creep that is still on the loose this morning comes back to extract his revenge for being yelled at for taking a leak on the side of the building. John Mock is wheeling a woman out of the church in a wheelchair, and this guy comes up and with a blade, and he slices him across the neck.
"He left, and then he came as a coward and cut me. I was helping the lady in the wheelchair and sliced me turning his back, my back to him."
And it's just awful. He's got just stitches up and down the side of his neck this morning. I mean, thank God they didn't do any permanent damage. He's going to be okay. He'll have a scar there. But this 56-year-old, just a church employee trying to protect his church, and this creep comes back and slices him with some sort of blade. We reached out to the NYPD. So far, they have not caught up with this guy, but they do know who he is. He's one of these familiar characters who's caused problems in the past. Now they just have to find him. Poor guy, John Mock, just trying to protect his church. The story out of Brooklyn, this disturbed man taken into custody last night after allegedly attacking three NYPD cops in Brooklyn. Sergeant slashed on the side of his head with a machete while he was trying to take this guy into custody. He was taken to Kings County Hospital with minor injuries. The officer's going to be okay. This was middle of the day. They got a call about this disturbed apartment person in an apartment building off of Beverly Road. They go in and they're met by this 40-year-old who's acting irrational. And unfortunately, this happens a lot. A lot of the police stops are four people acting irrational. As they try to take him into custody, that's when he slashes this officer. He also waves this machete at two other officers who were hurt. Thankfully, all three are going to be okay, and they were able to take this man into custody. A wild scene in New Jersey yesterday. The Catholic high school, it's called Union Catholic High. It's in Scotch Plains. This is about 11 in the morning. A worker finds a handgun in the school just sitting out. So he lets the authorities know, and the school is placed on lockdown because they don't know. Is this one gun of many guns? Is there some plan of a school shooting? And so students are put in lockdown until almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon. the neighboring school in Westfield also put on lockdown for a short period of time as they try to figure out who's the owner of this weapon. Kids who were inside the school say it was a little frightening.
It was pretty scary, but at the same time, we knew that we were pretty much safe. We had third period, and then we stood there for, like, the rest of the day. We had lunch, though, but...
So at some point, they said, okay, all clear, the police giving the all clear, but they would not give us a whole lot more details than that. They wouldn't tell us who the owner of the gun was, but they did say they had enough information to suggest that nobody was in harm's way. You can imagine parents were panicked. They were notified by the school. Nobody hurt, so we like the ending to that story. While we're in New Jersey, yesterday, they made it official that marijuana lounges are legal. So you can now set up, like a bar, the similar thing to a bar, you can now set up a marijuana lounge where you can go in and pick the marijuana you want to smoke or the gummy that you want to eat or whatever the products they have and get high with your friends. And so there's a lot of people who are applauding this because they were waiting for this moment to happen.
People go out to bars and have a good time. I think it'd be the same with cannabis. As a former bartender, I'd always appreciate the stoners more than the drinkers, right? Maybe a little bit more calm, a little bit more relaxed. So I'm looking forward to it.
That is true, right? Stoners are a little bit more relaxed. The drunks are usually a little bit more violent. So these lounges are set to open. But here's the weird part. In this new rule that was passed yesterday, you can't serve food inside this lounge. You can't sell alcohol inside this lounge. The only thing you can sell is marijuana. So why would people want to come to a lounge where you can't eat and drink at the same time? So you have some business owners who say, you know, I'm not going to build a lounge.
From an operator's perspective, it's hard to make money on that. And to create that amazing environment, by and large, operators are going to struggle to have the space or create a space if they can't monetize the space.
Yeah, you can't make money from just marijuana alone. That's the argument. We reached out to the New Jersey Cannabis Regulatory Commission to find out why you would put these restrictions on where you can't sell food, right? The big thing we learned is people have the munchies after they get high. You sell food or, you know, alcohol. We haven't heard back, but some owners say they're going to hold off until they can sell booze or at least food anyway.
Who's going to come and set up a 3,000 square foot smoke lounge when you can't make any money?
Yeah.
There's just too many restrictions. I think the state really hasn't ironed it out properly yet.
Yeah, so there is one actually right down the street from me that is set. They're ready to go. I see they're moving in furniture, so maybe they figured out a way to monetize it without selling food and alcohol. Mayor Adams has had a very tough time getting the feds to cough up cash for the migrant mess here in the city. So now Governor Hochul is going to try to do that.
Governor Hochul is leading a nationwide coalition of nine governors and calling for federal action on immigration. In a letter to the White House and congressional leaders, the coalition is calling for $1.4 billion in aid to states and localities, as well as a comprehensive border security legislative package. The letter in part says the number of migrants arriving in states and cities seeking emergency shelter continues to increase at record pace. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
While we're talking about Governor Kathy Hochul, she appointed the daughter of a veteran gambling lobbyist to the state board that regulates the industry, raising a bunch of concerns about potential conflicts of interest. Marissa Shorenstein, who served as head of Hochul's transition team when she became governor, was tapped as commissioner on the New York Gaming Commission, despite her dad's clients, which include some with business before the board. So interesting to see how that will play out. We haven't heard the name George Santos, and well, it's been a month or so, but he's going to be back in court today.
Former Congressman George Santos is due in federal court. No bombshells are expected. The plan is for Santos's team to get more evidence from the government and to detail the pretrial schedule, with trial set for the middle of September. In May, Santos was charged with wire fraud, money laundering, and making false statements. In October, additional charges accused Santos of identity theft, using the info and credit cards of campaign donors for lavish personal spending. Santos' fellow House members voted to expel him from Congress December 1st.
Israel has transferred a proposal to Hamas through Qatar and the Egyptian intermediaries for a two-month ceasefire now, for an exchange for the staged release of 136, all the remaining hostages that are being held in the Gaza Strip. This is the latest offer. Just hearing about this over the last 24 hours. The report citing two Israeli officials that Israel's war cabinet approved this proposal about 10 days ago, awaiting a response from the terror group Hamas. In the first phase of this deal, women, men over the age of 60, and hostages in critical condition would be freed. The phases after that would include the release of female soldiers, male civilians under the age of 60, and then finally, IDF soldiers and the bodies of hostages who have been killed. In return, Israel and Hamas would agree in advance on how many Palestinian prisoners would be exchanged for each Israeli hostage in every stage. Parallel negotiations would also take place to determine which prisoners are released. The agreement also calls for the redeployment of some IDF soldiers from major population centers in Gaza and would allow the gradual return of Palestinians to Gaza City and the Northern Strip. So they say now they're waiting to hear from the Palestinians and Hamas. So far, they have not heard back. This proposal coming on what was maybe the worst day of the war for Israel yesterday. 21 soldiers were killed in central Gaza on Monday when two buildings collapsed due to some sort of blast. We don't have all the details, but that proposal coming on the worst day, at least for Israel so far since the October 7th. 513, let's bring it back home. Dixville Notch voting in the New Hampshire primary. And do they have, as they saying goes, as Dixville Notch goes, so goes New Hampshire. Not usually, but South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley will hope that it does. That tiny village that's near the Canadian border that always votes first, this five-decade-old tradition, they voted at midnight today in the New Hampshire primary, and all five of their voters went for Nikki Haley. So Nikki Haley's hoping the rest of the day will turn out that way. Now, Dixville Notch has not predicted the outcome of a Republican New Hampshire primary correctly since 2008, when then-Senator John McCain of Arizona won the village and then the primary. Well, you can imagine the candidates crisscrossing the state, the two left, Nikki Haley and Donald Trump, trying to get every last vote. Donald Trump was on with Sean Hannity last night talking about Joe Biden.
They come in totally unchecked, totally, they call it unvetted. And they're pouring into our country now, and they're coming from prisons, mental institutions, and you have a lot of terrorists coming in.
Trump says Biden's policies causing chaos at the U.S.-Mexico border. The former president says he believes millions of people pouring across the border, including terrorists from many different countries.
We're going to put America first. We're a laughingstock all over the world. We're going to drill, baby, drill. We're going to bring energy way down. That's going to bring inflation way down. Inflation's coming back down. It's so bad right now. It's killing people. He's a low-energy president. More importantly, he doesn't have good instincts for what he's doing. He has very bad instincts and very, very bad instincts on foreign policy.
All right, in a moment, we're going to hear from Nikki Haley, who was trying to shake every possible hand yesterday ahead of today's primary. But first, 515, a first check of sports on this early Tuesday morning. Let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk and Justin Allen.
Thank you, Noam Oladen. Start here on the ice last night in Newark. The Devils were the only local team skating, winning a thriller in overtime over the visiting Vegas Golden Knights. Final score there, 6-5. Tyler Toffoli scored about 2.5 minutes into overtime to complete his second hat trick of the season en route to the victory in extra time. Curtis Lazar had two goals, and Nico Hischier also scored for the Devs, who had lost 3 of 4. Simon Nemec and Nathan Bastian each had 2 assists, and Vanacek stopped 28 shots. The Devils trailed 5-3 late in the second period before Toffoli scored with 16 seconds remaining, and Lazar got his second of the night at about the 9-minute mark of the third to tie the score. Toffoli would take matters into his own hands from there in OT to deliver the big win for New Jersey. The Islanders and Rangers will return to action tonight in Elmont, set for a 7:30 p.m. puck drop are the Isles and the aforementioned Golden Knights before the Rangers drop the puck in San Jose later on at 10:30 p.m. against the Sharks. On the hardwood last night, with no local action in store, the biggest story of the night happened down I-95 in Philadelphia in the form of Joel Embiid, who became the 9th player in NBA history to score 70 points in a game. Embiid finished with 70 points, 18 rebounds, and 5 assists, a line that has never happened in NBA history before Monday's game, or last night's game, I should say. according to ESPN stats and information. He's also the first player to reach that total in under 39 minutes played. Philadelphia won the game 133-123 over the San Antonio Spurs. Locally, the Knicks and Nets are both back in action tonight, going head-to-head in Brooklyn at 7:30 p.m. That's Sports Note, and I'm Justin Alec on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 519. Okay, all eyes on New Hampshire today as the Granite State holds its first-in-the-nation presidential primary. Former President Trump still has a sizable lead in all the polls we've seen over South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, but that did not stop her. She's out trying to shake every hand she possibly can before people go to the polls.
We're going to put America first. We're a laughing stock all over the world. We're going to drill, baby, drill. We're going to bring energy way down. That's going to bring inflation way down. Inflation's coming back down. It's so bad right now. It's killing people.
And I know the political class is saying everybody needs to get behind Trump. This is not a coronation.
But it seems like it is one. South Carolina Republican Senator Tim Scott endorsing Donald Trump. He said his endorsement boiled down to country over politics.
What is in the best interest of America's future?
Scott says Trump will unite and restore law and order in America. He also says Trump will protect Social Security and lower taxes. And he says he knows it's a diss to a fellow South Carolinian, Nikki Haley, who he says he likes.
The only thing I'm asking for is what I need access for the American people, and we're fighting for the issues.
He was up in New Hampshire yesterday campaigning for Trump. Congresswoman Nancy Mace also endorsing President Trump. She's the South Carolina Republican. Also says she's a Nikki Haley fan, but she thinks Donald Trump would do better in the White
Overwhelmingly,
House.
Overwhelmingly, they are with Donald Trump. We've had 4 years of weakness in the White House. They don't want 4 more years of weakness in the White House under Joe Biden. They want 4 more years of strength. They want 4 more years of peace.
Yeah, so what we've seen, though, in these poll after poll is that a lot of Americans unhappy with both choices. University of Florida Director of Debate Dr. Gil Carter says with so many people upset over a potential Trump-Biden rematch, he says he won't be surprised if the group No Labels actually comes up with a third-party candidate to run against them.
That's something that we're all going to have to kind of watch and see is kind of that middle voter, that suburbanite voter who both parties want, but who doesn't like Biden and doesn't like Trump. Would they go to a third party?
Yeah, he says both candidates, of course, working hard to win over the undecided while motivating their base to turn out. But a third party candidate could completely change the way they will have to campaign.
They have to get to the undecided, motivate their base while potentially fending off a third party candidate.
Yeah, and of course, the issue is both these candidates, Trump and Biden, have their own issues that of turning off some of these middle-of-the-road voters.
You've got Trump's legal troubles. You've got the Hunter Biden stuff going on. And candidly, you also have the health of both candidates, right, as also a factor. Will they even debate?
And we're already seeing this idea of deep fake messages on the campaign trail. Washington Secretary of State Steve Hobbs warning about deep fake messages that are being played in different states. New Hampshire, it's already happened.
Washington Secretary of State Steve Hobbs says a fake phone call in New Hampshire simulating President Joe Biden that was reported by NBC News shows how real a deep fake can be. In the message, the voice tells voters to save their vote for the November election. Last year, the Washington legislature passed a bill that allows candidates targeted by fake statements to sue for damages. Hobbs says it's just the tip of the iceberg for what the 2024 election cycle may hold. Brad Ford, NBC News Radio.
Yeah, okay, so those deep fakes are awfully interesting, but we've seen this kind of ploy before. I can remember once in Hoboken, they were passing out notices to voters to vote on Wednesday when the election was on Tuesday. The idea that they were worried they couldn't win if people showed up, but it didn't work, and people realized that Election Day was on Tuesday. This all going on, of course, is both Joe Biden and Donald Trump have their legal troubles. Some legal experts, though, would say it's time for District Attorney Fani Willis to step aside in the state election interference case against Donald Trump. The Fulton County DA accused of having an improper relationship with her lead prosecutor. And Georgia law professor Clark Cunningham says enough is enough already.
I think that the case is, if it hasn't gone off the rails already, it's about to. And I don't see anything good coming from her staying in charge of the case at this point.
Cunningham believes the allegation is just a huge distraction and a lot of good could happen if she steps away. Willis accused of benefiting financially by hiring Nathan Wade, whom she reportedly pays $250 an hour to be special prosecutor on the Trump case.
I think a lot good can happen if she steps away. This is a obviously a huge distraction.
WABC News Time 5:23. Yesterday, 51st anniversary of Roe v. Wade. President Biden meeting with his reproductive health care access task force yesterday.
Today, in 2024, in America, women are turned away from emergency rooms, forced to travel hundreds of miles to get basic health care in another state that may have a different rule.
He says the health and lives of women are at risk since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022. Biden telling the story of a woman fighting extreme politicians in court and needed to leave her state to help get an abortion.
Folks, this is what it looks like when the right to privacy is under attack. These extreme laws have no place, no place in the United States of America. I said on that day that Roe was overturned. The health and lives of women in this nation would now be at risk. And that has unfortunately proven to be true.
Democrats already showing that abortion will be a big issue for them in the 2024 race for the White House. The Supreme Court has granted the Biden administration's request to throw out a lower court ruling which banned federal agents from removing the razor wire that Texas has strung along the border.
It clears the way for federal officials to remove physical barriers and help illegal immigrants who are struggling to cross the Rio Grande. Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Amy Coney Barrett joined the court's three liberal members in the ruling. I'm Lisa Taylor.
That ruling taking place is President Biden asking Congress for funding to secure the southern border. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says cash alone not going to solve the problem.
It is not to build more wall, to deny illegal access. It actually is to facilitate more illegal immigration.
Of course, Texas has been in battle with the White House over control of the border. The state took control of a riverside park in the town of Eagle Pass, which has been a hot spot for crossings.
Trump put into place four policies that led to a secure border. And when Biden came into office, he eliminated those four policies.
WABC News Time 5:25, the U.S. Navy declaring dead and identifying two Navy SEALs who went missing in the waters of the Gulf of Aden near Somalia.
Christopher Chambers and Nathan Ingram disappeared earlier this month during a special covert mission to seize Iranian missile parts on their way to Yemen. One fell into rough waters and the other jumped in to rescue him. The U.S., Japan, and Spain took part in the search for the men, which spanned over 21,000 square miles off the coast of Somalia. I'm Lisa Taylor.
5:26, Billy Joel getting ready to release his first new single in nearly 20 years. The Piano Man announced Turn the Lights Back On, gonna drop February 1st. It'll be his first new song since 2007. He released 17 seconds of the song yesterday, so here's what it sounds like. As much as you're going to get. Joel hasn't said if a new single will be followed by an album of songs. We'll have to wait until February 1st, I guess, to find that out as well. The opening bell, it rings this morning on Wall Street after stocks closed at new record highs Monday, kicking off the trading week. Both the Dow S&P 500 reached fresh all-time highs as investors built on Friday's rally. The Dow went above 38,000 for the first time. Macy's shares rose more than 3% after rejecting a nearly $6 billion proposal to take the retailer private. So at the closing bell, the Dow was up 138 points. S&P 500 added 10 points. The NASDAQ gained 49 points.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yep, that's me. Good morning. It is Tuesday, January 23rd. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Cloudy day on the way. The high going to be 40. Tonight and overnight could see some showers after midnight. The low 36, and then Wednesday, the clouds, they hang around. Could see some rain in the afternoon, high 43. If you're walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are. 32 partly cloudy in Valley Cottage up in Rockland County. 27 partly cloudy in Mullica Hill down in New Jersey. And it is 33 and cloudy outside our Midtown studios right now. We'll start this half hour right here in the city. Imagine passing away and nobody notices. We get these stories every once in a while, and it seems awfully sad. This wellness check from the NYPD yesterday led to the discovery of a decomposed body inside of an East Tremont apartment building up in the Bronx. The body discovered on the fifth floor of this building, 179th Street. Police say the call for the wellness check came in at around 2 o'clock on Saturday. When they responded, they found this decomposing body. It's not currently known how long this body was there. They haven't told us whether it was a man or a woman. But people, some in the building said they had no idea who this person was and really had no idea how long they might have been dead.
It's really surprising for me because I have never heard nothing in this building and around like this area. I mean, like, I have 5 years living here, and it's also weird because this building is, like, quiet. There's, like, elderly people living here, so it's really surprising.
Yeah, nothing sadder than thinking that people have forgotten about you, and then you pass away. The medical examiner working now to determine the cause of death. The body has not been identified. The first doctor in New York to be charged with murder for illegally prescribing drugs to people already addicted to opioids was sentenced yesterday. Dr. George Blotti, previously convicted of 5 counts of manslaughter, he was sentenced yesterday 5 to 15 years in prison. During the sentencing, he also heard emotional impact statements from loved ones of those he killed. Family members of victims say they were unconvinced Blotti is sorry for what he did. They are convinced instead that he took this plea agreement because it was the best deal that he could get.
Do you think he felt remorseful?
No.
You didn't buy that at all?
No, not at all.
What? What do you have to say to him if he could hear you?
I wouldn't waste my time. Not remorseful. He just took what he got and that's it.
This was the first of its kind case in New York to charge a doctor with murder for prescription practices. But when you hear what he did, you might be okay with that. He was charged under the theory of depraved indifference to human life after prosecutors say he filled prescriptions with no reviews or exams, ignored pre-existing condition, prescribed to patients whom he never met or spoke to, and started them on the highest dose possible. All, they say, in return for making some cash. Authorities say even after asking to get off meds and after overdosing, the doctor kept prescribing patients more opioids in exchange for cash. He practiced out of this abandoned Radio Shack. I mean, this is awfully weird, but it was just a pill mill. And now prosecutors say he will go and pay for the time. He says 5 people he gave pills to passed away.
This,
I should point out, is the doctor's lawyer.
This is a tragedy of unbelievable proportions. In the face of that tragedy, my client, as I said in the courtroom, did the only thing he could do, which was to plead guilty and therefore accept responsibility and punishment for what he did.
This was what prosecutors said yesterday. They say he didn't take a handgun and shoot someone. He didn't take a knife and stab someone. When he killed 5 people, they say, because he was their doctor and they trusted him when they were vulnerable. Each victim died within days of seeing him and after offering him or selling them pills. Blotti will be eligible for parole in 5 years. WABC News Time 5:39. A local chapter of the NAACP pushing back against this story at Roosevelt High. Maybe you remember this. A Jewish school called the LaFell School went to play Roosevelt High in Yonkers in a basketball game. And the Jewish team said the team from Roosevelt was yelling anti-Semitic statements at them the entire game. They felt under threat and they called off the game in the third quarter of that game, it was about a month ago. Now the NAACP says it's done its own investigation into this, and they could not find any evidence that the players at Roosevelt High had yelled slurs at the Jewish students. Well, that goes against what the Yonkers mayor said. It goes against what the school district said. They let the basketball coach go. But that's what the NAACP says it found in its findings of video and all kinds of information. They interviewed people. They say there wasn't much to this argument that anti-Semitic statements were made at the game. You'll remember at the time, the Westchester County executive said that he found that there was evidence, and he was very upset about it.
There were individuals on the Roosevelt side that used anti-Semitic chants. It was a horrific example of hate speech, the type of thing that we do not tolerate in Westchester County under any circumstances.
That's George Latimer. The local NAACP said its report was based on a review of game video, interviews with parents, students, and coaches, said they couldn't find any significant clues or information that suggested that this anti-Semitic incident happened. But was interesting, yesterday at the school, when they were telling students and parents about this, many say, you know what, doesn't matter what happened, we should have both schools meet with each other so they have a better understanding of each other either way.
It's not going to stop. You know, it's going to go on, you know, that's all I can figure. You know, at some point, it's going to have to stop.
Open dialogue and airing grievances, that would probably help.
Yeah, makes sense. Two longtime local newspapers announcing yesterday they'll be suspending publications. Those who live in Scarsdale, Bedford, Pound Ridge, and beyond, feeling the loss already of the Scarsdale Inquirer and the Record Review. These are really hyper, hyper local websites, and they just can't find a way to monetize them. It's happening all over the country. So they're going to shut this down. And so people are going to not have that local news source that they have relied on for decades. One of the writers there, his name is Todd Sliss. He spent 20 years writing for the Scarsdale Inquirer, and now he's been laid off.
I hope that this can continue. Our publisher is working hard on this. We know the community has reached out to offer various kinds of support and help.
By the way, these journalists get paid, you know, nothing. I mean, it's really not a lot of money. Sliss says the publisher is working hard to find somebody else to fund this website. So far, nobody has come forward to do so. Mayor Adams in the Bronx last night. He does this series called Talk with Eric, where he goes from community to community, and he meets with, you know, regular voters, and they get to ask questions of him. So yesterday, last night, he was in Co-op City holding one of these public seminars. A range of issues from the migrant crisis to quality of life to public safety. One parent got up and said, "My kid is addicted to his phone, and I wonder if you can do something about that."
I'm afraid for these children. These children have nowhere to go. They're lost. We have to stop what social media is doing to our children, using algorithms to really control our children. But part of the plan is to hold these social media companies responsible, these platforms responsible.
The other part of that is being a parent and yanking that phone away. The mayor also went talking local issues, how to address things that, such as the solitary confinement bill and this bill that he just vetoed, the one that would have police officers dictate much of what they do on the street. They'd have to write up reports about any interaction they have. City Council passing this bill, they say it's all about transparency, but the mayor says it would just be more paperwork for officers who should be on the streets.
That's time. That's overtime. That's taxpayers' dollars. Police shouldn't be doing paperwork. They should be doing police work.
543. New York City is now going to invest what will be the country's largest municipal medical debt relief program. The health commissioner, Dr. Ashwin Vasan, says New York City is going to partner with a nonprofit called RIP Medical Debt to invest $18 million over 3 years to relieve $2 billion worth of unpaid medical bills for everyday New Yorkers.
We are answering healthcare's moral call to ensure that our fellow New Yorkers can rest just a bit easier tonight and to live healthier, longer lives by easing their burdens, even just a little bit, and even if just for a little while.
So this one-time debt relief program will launch sometime this year. It aims to wipe out medical debt for roughly 500,000 uninsured or low-income New Yorkers. Dr. Vasan says he has seen firsthand how medical debt forces patients to make impossible decisions.
Not only do you hold your breath when you go into a hospital or a doctor's office and wait for a diagnosis, you continue to hold your breath when you see the bill and what it costs, particularly for low-income New Yorkers.
High health care costs and the medical debt that all too often ensues can force impossible choices. Do I get the scan, the surgery, or the treatment? or do I buy groceries this week?
So you might be asking a lot of questions. Who can benefit? How can I apply? Those details not just out yet. 545, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk where we find Justin Ellis.
Thank you, Noam. I think I'm picking the groceries. How about you?
The groceries, what do you mean?
Like, I think I'm picking the groceries over the medical care.
Oh, I got you.
You know?
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day.
Or the rent or anything.
Yeah, you got to eat. You got to eat. I got to sleep in a warm bed. I mean.
Yeah, exactly. No, absolutely. 100%.
Right. Well, that's at least where I'm standing on.
Are you having issues with medical bills? Because, I can help you out if that's the issue.
No.
Okay. Good.
I think would be the correct answer. Unless I slip on ice again this week.
Right, that's true.
No, don't worry.
Speaking of ice, we'll start there. Last night in Newark, the Devils were the only local team skating, winning a thriller in overtime over the visiting Vegas Golden Knights. Final score 6-5. Tyler Toffoli scored about 2.5 minutes into overtime to complete his second hat trick of the season and route to the victory in the extra time. Curtis Lazar had 2 goals, and Nico Hischier also scored for the Devils, who had lost 3 of 4. Nathan Bastian had 2 assists, and Vitek Vanacek stopped 28 shots in the win as well. The Devils trailed 5-3 late in the second before Toffoli scored with 16 seconds remaining, and Lazar got his second of the night at about the 9-minute mark of the third to tie the score. Toffoli would then take matters into his own hands from there in OT to deliver the big win for Jersey. The Islanders and Rangers will return to action tonight in Elmont, set for a 7:30 p.m. puck drop by the Isles and the aforementioned Golden Knights, before the Rangers drop the puck in San Jose later on at 10:30 p.m. against the Sharks. On the hardwood last night, with no local action in store, the biggest story of the night happened down on 95 in Philly in the form of Joel Embiid, who became the 9th player in NBA history to score 70 points in a game. Embiid finished with 70 points, 18 rebounds, and 5 assists, a line that has never happened in NBA history before last night, according to ESPN Stats and Information. He's also the first player to reach that total in under 39 minutes played. Philadelphia won the game 133-123 over the San Antonio Spurs. Locally, the Knicks and Nets are both back in action tonight, going head-to-head in Brooklyn at 7:30 p.m. That's Sports Gnome, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 549. Search continues today in East Harlem for a man suspected of sexually assaulting a 10-year-old girl that he met online. Community members, neighbors asking for help finding this child predator.
People in the neighborhood know this guy. I encourage you that if you know him, please give him up.
Cops say the incident happened on January 6th when the suspect met with the girl he had reached through an app. The family of the girl says she's still traumatized, and they hope the suspect is caught soon. Migrant advocates criticizing New York City's policy that limits the time they can be in shelters. Members of the city council joining other groups at the Metro Baptist Church yesterday, calling on Mayor Adams to reverse the policy on shelter stays for migrant youth families and with children.
Forcing them to navigate an unnecessarily burdensome and bureaucratic process to receive a new shelter placement.
City Council Speaker Adrian Adams says the policy actively hurts people. Advocates argue the limits also force people to sleep in the cold and on potentially dangerous streets.
It bothers me and stresses me out that I have to worry that every 60 days I have to change to another shelter, and which means that I have to change my children's schooling, which affects them drastically.
By the way, the mayor's office is pushing back against this idea. They say that families are handled well and that within that 60-day limit, they know where they're going next, and that kids that are in schools, families are put in those same communities if they're moved to an apartment where the kids can still go to the same school system. Jury selection underway in Brooklyn in the trial of 2 men charged in the murder of Run DMC's Jam Master Jay. Seth Duchame, who is the acting U.S. Attorney, Eastern District of New York, says prosecutors never really gave up on the case, which went cold for a long time.
Really, really never gave up on this case. It was important to us then, and it remains extremely important to us now.
It's more than 20 years after the legendary DJ was shot in his Queens recording studio. Ronald Washington and Carl Jordan, they're standing trial, accused of killing him in cold blood after being cut out of a cocaine deal. 500 potential jurors being questioned individually by the judge. Jam Master Jay, whose real name was Jason Mizell, by the way, would have turned 59 on Sunday. Yesterday, we told you about these new barriers that went up down below Subway Station in Washington Heights, hoping to stop people from being shoved onto the tracks or accidentally falling onto the tracks. Big yellow barriers with openings for the subway doors when the subways pulled in. Well, we were telling you about it yesterday. All the riders we spoke to thought they were great. But then we spoke to riders 24 hours later, and they're finding a lot of problems with these barriers.
We still have a space in there. Like, if something's going to happen, it's going to happen regardless.
Because somebody could jump over it, jump right here on the side of it. It's multiple scenarios that could transpire. So, like I said, I just feel like this is another project MTA just going to waste their money on.
Yeah, sometimes you think the MTA cannot win. The MTA plans to install the barriers at three other stations. We'll consider expanding the program if the concept works. With a rise in people falling onto the tracks or being pushed, so the agency has been looking at ways to improve platform safety. So this is one idea.
They're wasting the money. It's a barrier that is not high enough. There's open space so you can get on the train, so people definitely can fall on the tracks through those spaces.
That doesn't help. You could throw you out right now. Okay. You see any different? It's just a waste of money.
Is there anybody who's optimistic about this?
Hopefully it works, and hopefully our money that's being taken from us is being used.
It's much safer. I'm sure it's going to be much safer.
That helps a lot, especially for people who have an accident or, you know, those guys who push some people for fun.
Yeah, so they're going to try this out at three other subway stations, see how it goes. January is National Blood Donor Month, and officials with the New York Blood Center encouraging New Yorkers to donate. There's a citywide blood shortage, always is this time of year. Organizers with the New York Blood Center say they're currently in a blood emergency, so they're asking you to roll up your sleeve.
Right now, being at a 1 to 2 day supply of certain blood types, it really means that if, God forbid, there's an emergency or some sort of tragedy where there's a large amount of blood products needed in a short amount of time, we may find ourselves in a challenging position.
Yeah, so it's easy enough to roll up your sleeve.
Big part of that, honestly, is just an awareness. I don't think most people realize that it's such a simple thing to do where they can literally save a life.
Yeah. NYPD cops searching for a creep wanted in connection to a knife attack on a 56-year-old man in the East Village. The incident started for John Mack, the victim, when he saw this creep taking a leak on the side of the Immaculate Conception Church on Sunday. By the way, this is middle of the day, East Village. He confronts this guy, says, "What are you doing?" and chases him away.
I told him face to face, we're going to do this. You're not supposed to urinate there. You're wrong. That's against the law.
Yeah, so Mack works at the church, but he says he would have chased the guy away anyway.
If you would have asked me, I got the keys out of the bathroom, I'll let you go. Then why do something like that?
Yeah, so this is a known figure in the East Village, the guy who was caught peeing on the side of the building. People recognize this picture right away. They haven't caught up with him. But instead of just sauntering off and calling it a day, this creep comes back and then attacks John Mack with a blade. And he does so as John is pushing a parishioner out of the church in a wheelchair on Sunday.
And he left, and then he came as a coward and cut me. I was helping the lady in the wheelchair and sliced me turning his back, my back to him.
Yeah, so now poor John's got this slash all the way down his neck. I mean, stitches, he'll have a scar there. Thankfully, he didn't do any permanent damage, but so far they have not caught up with the guy who attacked him. A handgun found at a New Jersey Catholic high school during school hours yesterday. The weapon located by a school employee at Union Catholic High in Scotch Plains. This was about 10:45, and you can imagine all kinds of alarm bells go off. They put the school into lockdown as they try to figure out if this is some part of a bigger plot to pull off some sort of school shooting. Thankfully, it was not, but nobody knew that at the time. Students say it was a little frightening.
It was pretty scary, but at the same time, we knew that we were pretty much safe. We had third period, and then we stood there for, like, the rest of the day. We had lunch, though, but...
Yeah, so police not telling us a whole lot about what took place. All they told us was they gave the all clear in the early afternoon, and they know who owns that gun. And we'll end with a story on New Jersey giving the thumbs up now to marijuana lounges. Think a bar where you go drinking. Now here's a lounge where you can light up. And as you might guess, some potheads pretty excited about that.
People go out to bars and have a good time. I think it'd be the same with cannabis. As a former bartender, I'd always appreciate the stoners more than the drinkers, right? Maybe a little bit more calm, a little bit more relaxed. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's 100% true, by the way. So the odd part about this bill that passed through New Jersey and lawmakers gave the thumbs up to is that you can sell marijuana in all its forms in these lounges, but you can't sell food or alcohol, which, of course, is a big component of hanging out in any lounge, is being able to eat and drink at the same time.
From an operator's perspective, it's hard to make money on that. And to create that amazing environment, by and large, operators are going to struggle to have the space or create a space if they can't monetize the space.
Yeah, so they did say you can have food trucks outside of the lounge, but that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So we reached out to the New Jersey Cannabis Regulatory Commission, which passed this rule, to say, why wouldn't you serve at least food? Okay, maybe you don't want to serve alcohol, but why not food? Haven't heard back. That is, owners decide whether they really want to open these lounges just selling marijuana.
Who's going to come and set up a 3,000-square-foot smoke lounge when you can't make any money? There's just too many restrictions. I think the state really hasn't ironed it out properly yet.
Yeah, I think they need to.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.